from the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, January 11th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things started right with...
The Daily Denogram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, love is a canvas furnished by nature and embroidered by imagination. Wow, so true. The problems begin when there are holes in your embroidery.
And the hits just keep on coming.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the program. Here we go.
Twisted History.
Hope this is
good.
Gather
around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Yeah, yeah.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same, you need to know your Twisted History.
Of course.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah. I think that's going to happen. All right, kids. It was on this day in 1927, Louis B. Mayer, head of film studio Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, announced the creation of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. Did this at a banquet in Los Angeles. And as was customary in those days, everybody just said, "Yes, Mr. Mayer." He was kind of an overbearing boss. And it was on this day in 1964, the Surgeon General of the United States, Dr. Luther Terry, published the landmark report, Smoking and Health, report of the Advisory Committee to the Surgeon General of the United States, saying that smoking may be, just maybe, hazardous to your health, sparking national and worldwide anti-smoking efforts. And to this day, how many years is that? It's like 60 years. To this day, millions of Americans still smoke. Gee, go figure.
Let's face it, this is not the worst thing you've caught me doing.
I have a story here that's been sitting on my desk for a couple of days from the Epoch Times. And I want to give credit to the proper author of the article, Tom Ozimek. He says the Biden administration has pledged to continue to pursue and convict all people who broke the law in the January 6, 2021 Capitol incident, including those who never entered the building or who weren't even present at the U.S. Capitol that day. Now, can you wrap your brain around that for just a second? You understand what they're saying there? If you even just thought about going to the Capitol that day, if you intended to but didn't go, they want to prosecute you. Now, what country in the entire world would do something like that? Now, here's some numbers, or a number that I want you to think about. Prosecutors have to date charged over 1,250 people with various crimes related to January 6th, and they range from things like being present on Capitol grounds without authorization to assault of a police officer, and seditious conspiracy. So do you see what's happening here? The Biden administration, and it really permeates more than just the Biden administration. This is a whole mentality, a culture, if you will, of demonization of constitutional freedom-loving Americans. They are demonizing MAGA. Now, what is MAGA? Make America Great Again. Now, you got your intellectuals who like to, press the argument. When was America ever great? Yeah, we've had our flaws. We certainly have had our flaws. But when you look back on our history, for instance, the way we prosecuted World War II. World War II had been grinding on for a couple of years already by the time we finally got involved in December of 1941, and we put a quick end to that war, not only by fighting harder, but by fighting smarter. But we did put a quick end to that war because our involvement was just a little over 3.5 years. And then the way we treated our former enemies, Germany and Japan, the Axis powers, the way we treated them in the post-war years is a monument to a nation that knows how to put the past in the past. Let bygones be bygones. Let's focus on the future. Our two most ferocious enemies in World War II are two of our strongest allies to this day. 80 years later, 80 years after the fact. Okay, 78 years after the fact. It's amazing. I don't think that sort of thing has ever happened on the planet before. Hopefully it'll never have to happen again, although we are on the threshold of World War III. And I'm looking at what's happening within our own country right now. And here you have the administration pledging, devoted to, continuing to pursue and convict all people who they claim broke the law on January 6th of 2021. Now, former President Trump has said on several occasions that he thinks January 6th detainees are being mistreated by the administration, and he's vowed to issue pardons for many of them. Now, what he means by many, I don't know. I'm sure there will be some guidelines coming down the pike at some point in the future. But he said, the J6 hostages, I call them. Nobody's been treated ever in history so badly as those people. This is what he said at a rally in Iowa on the eve of the anniversary of J6. And he pledged at that point to pardon a large portion of imprisoned January 6th defendants. And then, by contrast, you had Biden, who last week celebrated the jailing of J6 defendants in a speech where he marked the third anniversary. Here's what Biden said. He said, collectively to date, I had to do it in character.
Yeah, collectively to date, they've been sentenced to more than 840 years in prison. And what has Trump done? Instead of calling them criminals, he's called these insurrectionists patriots. And he promised to pardon them if he returns to office.
Clearly, what we have here is a hypothetical vein of hatred toward over half of the nation by our current administration. They hate you. It's like that meme that I think I posted several times on my podcast page. It's just a black and white photo of Trump sitting in a chair leaning forward. And he says, they're not after me. They're after you. I'm just in their way. Now, you think about this, the mentality of the current administration is that all January 6th perpetrators are to be targeted. Now, off the campaign trail, Trump has made clear that the DOJ under President Biden has no intention of letting January 6th participants off easy, including those who weren't even there that day. And this is what sticks in my craw. Attorney General Merrick Garland said in a speech on Friday, he says, we have initiated prosecutions and secured convictions across a wide range of criminal conduct on January 6th, as well as in the days and weeks leading up to the attack. Wow. Prosecutors have to date secured over 890 convictions. In connection to the J6 incident, with Garland vowing to press ahead to cast the DOJ dragnet even wider. Quoting him, he says, our work continues. And as I said before, the Justice Department will hold all January 6th perpetrators at any level accountable under the law, whether they were present that day or were otherwise criminally responsible for the assault on our democracy. Well, if they weren't there that day, how could they be criminally responsible for the assault? The so-called assault. And then he added, we're following the facts and the law where they lead. I think he's the most disgusting single officer within the Biden administration. This guy, Merrick Garland. And let's not forget, Merrick Garland was Barack Obama's pick for a Supreme Court justice. Boy, there's a bullet we dodged, thank God. Now, nearly two-thirds of the 890-plus convicted January 6 participants have received some time in prison. The longest prison sentence, 22 years, 22 years, was handed down to Enrique Tarrio, the former Proud Boys national chairman who was convicted of seditious conspiracy for allegedly plotting with others to forcibly prevent the transfer of power between Trump and Joe Biden. And dozens of J6 detainees are still languishing in jail awaiting trial 3 years after the Capitol incident. So, I don't know. I'm a baby boomer. I grew up in some pretty good times in this country, but entered adulthood through some very rough times, the 60s, the 70s. The 80s were pretty darn good. I pine for the 80s to come back. Oh, man. Not only did we have a great president, we had good music. But I would never care to go through the 70s again, but we are. We're doing that right now. In fact, 2024, Jamie Dimon, you know him, right? Big financial guy out of New York. He expects 2024 to be a repeat of the 1970s. We do not have a good year ahead of us. I've mentioned that before on a number of occasions. This year is going to be a stinker. It's going to be a very tough year. But what we're looking at here with this administration is a governmental body that hates, truly hates conservatives. And this hatred is being fed by none other than the man who's really running the White House, Barack Hussein Obama. That man hates not just conservatives, he hates America. If there were any real justice in this world, if there were any real truth in this world, Obama would have been deported by now. Or better still, just put in prison. Now, Matt Graves, the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, who's leading the ongoing J6 prosecutions alongside Jack Smith, said last week that the DOJ had so far focused its prosecutorial efforts mostly on those who entered the Capitol or took part in violent acts in and around the building. Quoting him, "We've used our prosecutorial discretion to primarily focus on those who entered the building or those who engaged in violent or corrupt conduct on Capitol grounds. But if a person knowingly entered a restricted area without authorization, they have already committed a federal crime. Make no mistake, thousands of people occupied an area that they were not authorized to be present in." Well, in light of Garland's remarks that the DOJ would continue to hunt down all J6 perpetrators, whether or not they were at the Capitol that day, Graves' statements basically just reinforce the view that prosecutors intend to expand their dragnet to people who never entered the building or weren't even there that day. My God, this reeks of Soviet-era tyranny. But while the Biden administration seems intent on broadening its hunt of J6 suspects, a former attorney general said he thinks things have already gone too far. And it's none other than Bill Barr. He served as attorney general under Trump. He told Fox News in a recent interview that he believes some people involved in the J6 incident, like those who attacked police and broke into the Capitol building, deserve to be punished. He's got a point. I mean, nobody here on our side is saying that these people are blameless. Nobody's saying that. But Barr said he believes the DOJ has already cast its J6 prosecutorial net too widely. He says there were people that should have been prosecuted, but I think they cast their net far too broadly. He said the DOJ under President Biden has been hounding people that really, you know, just walked into open doors in the Capitol building and hung around. I think they just took it too far. But that being said, I don't minimize what happened up there. While I don't think it was an insurrection, it clearly was a shameful episode, and some of the people involved should be prosecuted. Now, that right there is probably one of the most honest statements I've heard in the description of what happened on January 6th. says, while I don't think it was an insurrection, and it wasn't, you look at the actual definition of the word insurrection, it was not an insurrection. He says, while I don't think it was an insurrection, it clearly was a shameful episode, and some of the people involved should be prosecuted. Well, I couldn't agree more. But meanwhile, on the same day that the interview with Barr aired, the FBI announced that it had arrested three J6 fugitives, individuals who were indicted for various alleged crimes committed 3 years ago at the Capitol, including assault and resisting arrest, but failed to show up at trial. Yeah, unfortunately, there's going to be some of that, too. But right now, I think every American citizen should be wary of this administration and the people behind the president, the people pushing the president and the DOJ to do the things they're doing, the people behind the FBI. Because you and I, my friend, are living in a banana republic right now. Here's one I just couldn't pass up. Now, this is from Matthew Boyle and Alexander Marlowe at Breitbart, who said that former President Trump told Breitbart News that years ago, when he was a U.S. senator, that now President Joe Biden was regarded by then Senator Ted Kennedy and his colleagues as the dumbest person in the U.S. Senate. Well, they must have had their reasons for saying so, right? Trump was explaining how Biden's a very vicious guy, surrounded by vicious people, but also noted that Biden's not smart at all, which really makes sense when you take into consideration the allegations I've been making for the last couple of years that the Biden administration is actually being run by Obama. Because if you were going to do something like that, you know, actually get a Manchurian candidate, somebody in there who would do what you tell him to do, that's what you would need. You would need a very dumb person. So Trump told Breitbart News in a more than 2 hour long interview at Mar-a-Lago just before the new year, he says, I ran against him. I got far more votes than I did the first time. I feel I know him very well. A lot of times in deal making, you know a person before, if you're doing deals, than if you're with that person all the time. He's surrounded by vicious people, radical left people, and people that are ultimately going to destroy him. They give no quarter. They're willing to do anything like weaponize the Justice Department and the FBI, and all of those things can come back to hurt Joe and them and everybody else ultimately. There's a level of viciousness that you don't see. Joe Biden is a very vicious guy. He's not a smart guy, not smart at all. All you have to do is look at his academic credentials. But he's a very vicious guy. Trump then said that Biden, while vicious in reality, has been able to fool Americans into believing this image of nice, something that Trump says a story from the late Kennedy undercuts. He's got this image of nice when Ted Kennedy, who I knew very well, he's a Palm Beach guy, rich family, had a house on the ocean a mile down the road. I was very friendly with him for various reasons. I said to Ted Kennedy, who's the smartest guy in the Senate? He gave me a name I won't tell you because I can't stand the guy, but it was really true. He's a smart guy. Then I said, who's the dumbest? He said, probably Joe. I said, who's Joe? He said, Joe Biden. I said, why is he the dumbest? He said, it's because he doesn't understand concepts. He doesn't understand policy, and he doesn't understand anything that's complicated like taxes and various other things. But he's a hale and hearty and well-meant. It's true, sort of, with the smile. You could see a friendliness there, but it's not friendliness. Ted Kennedy said he's the dumbest guy in the Senate, and now he's our president. Now, to kind of recap, get a historical perspective on this, Kennedy died at the very beginning of former President Obama's first term. Biden was Obama's vice president, of course, but he served for decades in the upper chamber of Congress with Biden. Now, Kennedy was a senator from Massachusetts. You probably remember that from, and he served for a long time, from 1962, November of 62, through his death in August of 2009. Now, Biden was a senator from Delaware from January 73 until he became vice president in 2009. So Trump is correct that the Kennedy family had an estate on Palm Beach for many years, one that John F. Kennedy used to call the Winter White House when he worked from there as president of the United States during holidays. Now, the Kennedy family sold the property later during Trump's presidency. And Trump, who often worked from Mar-a-Lago during the winter months of his presidency, would call his resort the Winter White House, or Southern White House, as well, just like JFK, Ted Kennedy's brother. Now, later in the interview, Trump accused Biden of having Trump derangement syndrome, a term that's come to describe anybody and everybody obsessed in an unhealthy way with Trump. So he says, I think he's got Trump derangement syndrome. I think he's got the biggest case of it. And then Trump also noted that he thinks hard leftists are using the desperate steps of weaponizing government against him and absurdly claiming Trump winning would be a move toward authoritarianism because they're clinging to power. Oh, and you can see that. You can see that in every move they make, every speech they make. Trump said he doesn't think they care about the country, which of course they don't. And in fact, he believes they actually secretly hate America, which is why I continue my allegations that the real force behind the White House is Barack Obama, because Barack and Michelle hate America. You know this. You don't need me to explain that to you. It's just a fact. The Obamas hate America. The Obamas are running the Biden administration. So then Trump says, I think they just want to stay in power. I don't think they care about the country. In many ways, they hate the country. Who could love the country when you're letting 15 million people in? By the end of this term, I think they'll have let 15 million people in. Who could love the country? I think inwardly, they hate the country. They may not even be able to express that. And then when asked to define who he means by they, Trump said he means the people who are steering Biden, who, again, he believes is stupid for their radical agenda. And then when asked to define they, adding too that Biden is simply a vehicle for these radical leftists controlling him, he said a group of radical left maniacs that are running the country for Biden, using him. I believe he's a shell. Well, isn't that what I've been saying for 3 years now? He also added reference to Biden, he says he's a vehicle and he turned out to be great for them. None of them wanted him because they can't speak, because he can't speak, and he couldn't speak 3 years ago. He couldn't speak at the debates. The last debate, he gave away the whole energy. He actually said he doesn't want to do energy. I said that was a Perry Mason moment, but in the end, the press doesn't pick it up. The press is dishonest, not for what they say, but for what they don't say in many ways. It's almost worse. Now, that's something else I've been making a point of for, 10 years or more. Probably for as long as I've been doing these podcasts. I've said that the media not only lies to you through what they say, but they also lie to you by omitting important things that they should be reporting. So, I don't know. Trump noted that the weaponization of law enforcement against him and other political opponents of these leftists is a whole new step toward the third world. Now, first story here on today's podcast. I pointed that out. We live in a banana republic now. You look at how the administration, including the FBI, the CIA, the DOJ, all have been weaponized against conservatives. If they find out you're MAGA, you're immediately guilty of J6. So he says, I think what they've done with the weaponization and going after your political opponent, I think that's one of the biggest moves made in politics in this country in 100 years. It's never happened here. It's happened in banana republics and third world countries fairly routinely. And then he added that the leftists steering Biden are unrestrained lunatics. He says, yeah, I think they're unrestrained lunatics. I believe they're going to do whatever's necessary, but we're going to win. We're going to win. For instance, they indicted me 4 times, and the greatest criminals on earth haven't been indicted 4 times. So, going to continue to watch this. The people at Breitbart claim they have more coming down the pike from their 2-hour interview with Donald Trump. I think it was great that he spent that much time with Breitbart, but then again, why not? Breitbart is really an excellent journalistic organization. Do you ever notice that when it comes to screw-ups, when it comes to redactions, when it comes to corrections in journalism, you never hear them. You never hear of that happening on Breitbart. And I've been following Breitbart since I did my first podcast. So, Yeah, Andrew, the late Andrew Breitbart left a terrific legacy in the Breitbart organization. Well, our old friend Dr. Anthony Fauci, former White House advisor, faced an exhaustive 7-hour session of questioning during a landmark congressional hearing, all regarding his role in the COVID-19 pandemic response. The hearing, which took place on Tuesday, was the first of two sessions where Fauci was grilled by House Republicans over his handling of the public health crisis. And it was a crisis made worse, I think, by Dr. Fauci and those who followed him. And, of course, there ensued also a rather long period of censorship. Censorship of media, censorship of social media, censorship of individuals, and worse, censorship of doctors. A lot of doctors and nurses lost their jobs. Man. Anyhow, the grilling started with a focus on Fauci's evasive responses to over 100 questions concerning the origins of COVID-19, his connections to the Wuhan lab, and the controversial gain-of-function research. If you recall, Rand Paul made some real inroads in earlier sessions, getting to the bottom of that. And critics have long scrutinized Fauci for what they believe is a lack of transparency and accountability, particularly in relation to funding potentially dangerous research in foreign countries. During the hearing, it was revealed that Fauci had approved millions of dollars in grants without thoroughly reviewing the proposals, naturally raising concerns about the oversight of foreign labs who are getting U.S. funding and lots of it. And this admission has fueled further criticism from those who argue that lapses in judgment of that sort could have contributed to the pandemic. Because somebody wasn't paying attention. And House Republicans leading the hearings have described Dr. Fauci's pandemic policies as fraught with drastic and systemic failures. And they accuse him of flip-flopping on critical issues like mask wearing, lockdowns, and school closures, which they believe led to confusion and mistrust among the American public. And let's not forget the fast-tracking of these vaccines, which, after the fact, proved to be hazardous to our health. I hope they get the answers they want. This will be continuing. Fauci is not off the hook, even though he now has a new job where he's making even more money. To the Comedy Corner with Greg Warren.
So I had a lot of free time, like a lot. And I wanted to use it to better myself in some way. And I didn't. Like I I worsened myself quite a bit. I'm not responsible. I lose stuff. If there's an important document, I don't have it. I'm a constant disappointment to the DMV. Sir, do you have your social security card? I haven't seen that in 30 years. Sir, it's an important document. Well, then you guys shouldn't have printed it on a gum wrapper, okay? At least the passport people made a book out of their thing. It's got pages and a cover, and yes, I lost that one too, but I shouldn't have. Sir, do you have your birth certificate? My birth certificate? That document is 54 years old. I also don't have the Declaration of Independence. You can get a new birth certificate. You know, you just got to write to the state, but you can get one. I lose them all the time. I'm like, can I just get a book of 50? Is there a birth certificate in the month club or something I could join? Then they start with the car questions. Do you have a title for your car? I never thought of one. The sedan with a plan. My friend told me if you get the vaccine, that's the government's way of putting a chip inside of you. If that's the case, like, I'm very grateful. I mean, that's going to make the DMV a better place for everybody. Sir, we need to see your paperwork. I'm pretty sure it's in here. I got my shot in my left arm. Just get your chip reader out. It's back there. Yeah, just, it'll beep like a metal detector. I think if I could ask a favor while you're in there, I forgot my Apple ID. If you could look it up. I tried three times and they locked me out. And I
have a terrific Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.